And yo, pump up the jam, it's the summer of Sam. I got a pen in my hand, scribbling a pentagram. I'm the founding forefather, Masonic book author. Midnight Marauder, that's harder than Sergeant Slaughter.
Graphic novelist, Frank Miller, serial killer. Drive tanks to your metropolis, I simply think iller. My cold flows make you shiver like zombies in Thriller. Mike Jack move, we demi-Godzilla.
Hey, yo, I'm slicker than Zorro, Nicky Santoro. Rhyme sharp enough to split a man at his torso. Operation Omega, searching every road dagger, looking for the dough, making Debbie.
Hello and welcome to episode 40 of the I Want More Comics podcast. I'm Richie.
I'm Zach.
I'm here.
That's Sean.
That's Sean.
Present.
Present.
What are we supposed to say? Present. I'm present.
Excellent.
All right, so it looks like we're a day late, but they're not hopefully going to know that.
No.
I said wee. All right. I feel like we've done enough banter. Let's go to the news.
So we have a ton this week that we're going to be talking about. First of all, I wanted to get into just really quickly the stuff that we're doing here in store. As always, we are doing our I Want More Comics book club. It will be from April 27th from 6:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m.
Yes.
We are going to be doing Astro City Life in the Big City. So if you already have that and like to come talk about it, come on down. If you need to buy a copy, we have copies available. And again, that's 25% off for everybody, 30% off for hold slots. So if you need that book, just come on down. If you don't want to buy the book, but you just want to talk about comics or hear what people have to say, that's fine too.
Yeah.
And just show up and that'll be all good.
This is a good one because you don't need... It's superhero comics. So you can come in and just discuss superhero comics and why you dislike or like them.
Exactly. The other thing that we have going on, which I'm going to refer to Sean here...
No.
...is going to be... We're going to have an Amy Reeder signing.
What?
Signing and sighting. She's going to be here in the store.
What?
Yeah.
She's going to... Well, I don't know if this might be in the past for some of you, but she will be here Wednesday, April 12th?
12th.
April 12th, 2017.
From 5 to 7, signing, saying hi, you know, shaking babies and kissing hands or whatever
order that goes in.
So, yeah, but she'll be here with us after her appearance at Dink.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. And for the people who don't know, if they don't know who Amy Reeder is, she's one who worked on Batwoman with J.H. Williams for a while. Mm-hmm. She did Man of Xanadu for Vertigo. And currently she is on Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur at Marvel.
Yeah.
With Brandon Montclair.
Yes.
Little Brandon Montclair.
He is writing that stuff. Mm-hmm. So,
good stuff. Now into some of the comic world news. We have the announcement that Seth Rogen and Adam Goldberg are going to be doing the Invincible movie.
I am scared.
What?
They're going to be doing an Invincible movie.
Mama?
Yes.
A movie for Invincible.
I'm scared and I'm frightened.
So.
So does it... Here's the thing about Invincible. Does it go through... It's got to go through the third trade, right?
That's going to be my guess. That's going to be the first movie.
You got to get all three of the trades in.
My guess is that's going to be the story. That's going to be the big twist.
Mm-hmm.
If people have read Invincible out there, there's a twist in the first couple trades. That'll be the second act, and then the third act will be the conclusion of that.
Right.
And then that'll be it.
Right.
Which I can see them...
So scared.
As a movie, that's kind of scary. I would honestly prefer a Netflix show.
Well, I would prefer a show too, but I'm going to guess that Kirkman and them want to do like a big, full-blown superhero...
Image. Universe?
Like movie kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
With the flying.
And ICU.
All that, all that kind of stuff, so...
They better be good, or I'll have to go to their house and give them a stern talking to.
Well, so Robert Kirkman's...
You sit down, young man.
So Robert Kirkman's
tell
involved.
You what you've done wrong.
Because I love Invincible. It's the best superhero comic ever made. That's
ever.
Right, I said it. I said it, Zach.
There
what? Superman ain't got nothing on this.
He's so wrong.
Well, he's
represent, yo.
I do think Invincible's one of the best superhero comics ever made, though. I do.
It is really good.
I do agree. But I like Seth Rogen and Adam Goldberg, what they've been doing with Preacher.
God, if you're not reading it, you need to read it.
Yeah, you need to read Invincible.
Yes.
It's fantastic.
You need to read Invincible.
And Robert Kirkman is going to be still involved with it, so it's not like this is not he just sold it and he has no involvement.
Yeah.
These are the guys who work at AMC.
Better, or I'm going to go to his house and give him a stern talking to.
Yeah.
There you go.
We'll get his brother on.
So we will see how that goes. The other event that Marvel announced that they are going to be doing no big events for 18 months or more.
Interesting.
You feel like that's true?
So we're going to talk about it. It kind of ties in with what we're going to be talking about today in spinning the racks. But my big thing is that I'm going to guess that they're going to go back to the old school way of... They're going to have events, but it's going to be across a line. Right. So there'll be an X-Men event. There'll be an Avengers event.
Those are worse.
It will not be a crossover world, you know, the
for
whole
people
Marvel
that don't
universe.
Like to jump. Yeah, because I was reading that whole Action Comics thing that you guys like for the Superman story, but I wasn't reading Superman, and the fact that they had to cross that crap over into Superman and make me buy 2 inches of Superman, I wanted to beat up Zach.
I mean, that's fair. I understand.
Anytime, it was annoying.
Anytime
so
Superman...
So if this is what Marvel's going to do, and they're going to go, hey, this cool X-Men story that bleeds into all these X-Men titles, I hate that shit.
I believe that anytime Superman or Action Comics does anything wrong, we should beat up Zach.
I agree with you. Yeah, I mean, that's Zach's boy. Fault. Superman's his boy. It is. So he's got to take the responsibility of the entire nation.
And it's your fault.
Well,
it's your fault.
Here's the thing, though, is that Superman and Action are both fantastic, and not reading one of them, you're an idiot anyway. So,
that's not true.
Shots fired.
So, Superman was kind of boring, and I like
it's not
Action.
Boring.
Shots fired.
It's not boring. It was boring.
It's not boring. I like Superman more than Action Comics, I actually think, but that's...
That's because you have problems.
No, it's because I like the
something,
what
something
Pierre Tomasi's doing
right now. Doesn't matter when you're doing it.
I feel like we were talking about Invincible at some point.
We were.
No. Why do you get off track,
Marvel.
Zach?
We're talking about Marvel.
We're talking about Marvel.
Anyway, so that's what I think they're going to be doing. We can talk about more in Spinning the Racks, but that was a big announcement that they put out the other day. But
they're not going to do a big, any crossover, anything. It's just going to be straight comics for 18 months.
18 months or more, they said.
Okay.
I'm going to call bullshit, prove me wrong.
Yeah.
So
leave that right there.
Nobody.
I just dropped that. Did you hear that? Dropped that.
Yeah, nobody hold your breath on that.
And so then the other big announcement for the comic book world is going to be that DC Comics announced Dark Knight's Metal, written by Scott Snyder, art by Greg Capullo.
They just miss each other?
They're going to be doing this is going to be a DC universe wide crossover.
Correct. It's almost the opposite of what Marvel announced.
Yeah, it's not going to be just a Batman centric book. It's going to include Hawkman, GL, Wonder Woman. Basically Scott Snyder said that it incorporates everything from Gotham City to the Source Wall.
Yeah.
So they said that it's going to be a huge event. The first two one shots are going to be Dark Days, the Forge, and Dark Days, the Casting, which are going to be written by James Tynion with art by Jim Lee, John Romita Jr., and Andy Kubert. Yeah. So it's going to be a huge event that they're going to be doing this summer. It's going to be 6 issues long, and the person that helped Scott Snyder architect the entire thing is Jeff Johns.
Right.
So
that feels.
I'm out.
Feels real good. I know you're not.
Very good. I'm super stoked for it, and we're going to sell a lot of that.
Yeah, I talked to somebody. We were talking to one of the Hold Slap members, and he's saying that he didn't need the hype. I sold, and I'm one of those people. So Zach kept coming to me with like, "Did you hear about this? And did you hear?" I was like, "I was right. They already had my money. I don't need hype. It's Batman.
I'll need more hype."
But
Zach, you're gonna have to hype me.
I think that
it's your job.
I don't know if I can hype a dead heart.
I think that
you're gonna have to get this heart pumping again. Okay. This heart is so dead.
I think that the team on it, the direction awesome. Is that the team on it, the direction awesome. It's. A Jeff Johns steered Scott Snyder is awesome to me.
Yeah.
With Capullo art.
Yes.
Subbed by Andy Kubert. Psh, and get out of here.
And Jim Lee.
Don't meh me. That's, yeah. With Jim Lee overseeing that? No.
It's like a special kind of boring with the J right before the O when you spell boring. It's a Bjoring.
Bjoring?
That's how Bjoring it is.
So
I'm sure it'll be great.
It will be great.
Yes.
I'm excited.
So that's it for the news.
That was a lot of news.
That was a lot of news. I want more news.
I don't have any more.
Amy Reeder's going to be here. Marvel's not doing big events. DC's doing big events.
When was the last time Marvel actually did a big event that mattered?
We have got to be positive during this. This is a positive.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm positive that it was been pretty terrible.
Hail Hydra, son.
This is a positive podcast.
I'm evil, Sean. This is evil. This is what you get this Sean's podcast.
Today's going to be great.
Today's
going to
be rough. With our topic today, this is going to be rough.
It's going to be real
Hold
rough.
Hold on to your hats.
Yes. And do not or take anything ears. That he says personally.
Do you say earmuffs? Hold on to your earmuffs? Because we're talking to the ears.
Yeah, maybe. Again, yeah. Either way, no. just understand that we'll do the disclaimer. The opinions of the people here talking are not representative of comics.
Yeah. Except mine.
Except for Sean, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right.
Well, with that, I feel like we should slip right into things we do like our picks of the week.
Picks of the week. Who wants to go first here?
Richie.
Oh, good call.
There you go.
Oh, I'm happy to go first because I finally get to say that my pick of the week is Dark Knight 3 Master Race again.
It's so great.
I haven't got to say that since Christmas, so.
And why is that?
Because it hasn't been out.
Well, it's only been 2 years.
2 years this book has been going on, and we're on issue 8, so I feel
One more that's supposed to come out in July.
So we still haven't got a conclusion.
How long is it
going
to take them to push the stone up that hill?
I'm just saying. I feel like that we're moving pretty fast for Frank Miller.
It's kind of glacial. No, it's kind of glacial, man.
No, I think that this is pretty fast for... I mean, when it comes to All-Star Batman, I'm still waiting. I still have hope.
At this point, there's probably been tribes that have been wiped out in Africa.
Oh, yeah.
Or something.
That started...
2 years.
Yeah, yeah.
2 years for 8 issues.
Obama was president when it started.
Blaspheme.
Things were...
different.
Yeah, very different. We were in a different world when this comic book started. This one features a story arc of the Kryptonian master race going for Wonder Woman and Superman's second love child. And it...
Man, Supes is getting around.
Yeah. And it ends with some lovely brutality.
Love child. I love how you put that.
Yeah. Their baby.
Their baby.
It's their baby. But I've always enjoyed Frank Miller's depiction of Wonder Woman, and I think that Azzarello appreciates that idea of her as well, with a very violent and aggressive female character with compassion.
Yeah.
But only compassion for those that don't cross her.
Sure.
And this kind of highlights that. We've had hints in the Millerverse, if you will, and I just coined that.
That should never have needed a coin. That's horrible.
So we've had hints of Wonder Woman being very aggressive, okay with slaughter on a massive scale if it gets the job done. Others have done that as well, like Darwin Cook.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that type of Wonder Woman because she kind of fits almost in the middle of the Trinity, with Batman and Superman. She's kind of right there with, like, necessary. Yeah. It's fine. She puts her enemies down, as she says. So, in here we get to witness that. Full-blown Amazon Kryptonian war and all the chaos that comes with that.
Awesome.
So, not a lot... Baby. Yeah.
Sorry.
Get my baby. Kill it. But there wasn't a lot of conclusion with what happened with Batman. I won't give too many spoilers away, but there was a big twist in 7.
Gotcha.
And not a massive payoff, just kind of like that happened and they move forward, which is rough when you wait for a lot of months and not get that. So, and of course, I will, in the middle of these comics is a tiny comic that's done just by Frank Miller.
Yep.
And I love it to death. It's so good.
It's a little mouth.
That was a lot better than I've seen him in a long time.
To be fair, I know that you guys like to mess with his art, and it's a hot topic of discussion here, but...
When you put your hand in the thresher and then try to draw sometimes, it doesn't turn out how it
looks. But I will say that even in the artwork that comes with these pages, I think that he's progressed to smoother, more direct type of artwork.
So he's going back to his Daredevil days.
I wouldn't say that, no. But
because that's when he was this most smooth. That's when his lines were nice.
I would say that this crisp. Is hitting, like, this particular issue has, I think, artwork a little subpar to, a little above DK2, which is a little lower than Dark Knight Returns. So no. I don't think he's ever going to be at the level of Daredevil again, but I think that his line work has gotten much better.
That did look better.
And I really enjoyed it. So, I know it's not everybody's favorite cup of tea, but damn it, do I love this comic.
There you go. That's what matters.
The more you know.
The more
you know.
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah, Joe. All
right. So why don't we move on to, let's go with Zach, and we'll make Sean do it last.
All right. Thank you.
I quit.
So the my pick of the week was X-Men Prime number 1.
Yeah.
I read that.
From last week.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and basically, for people who don't know, this is the one-shot that they brought out to realign the X-Men line of books for Marvel. They're going to be doing new books, X-Men Gold, X-Men Blue, Weapon X, Cable, Jean Grey, Iceman, and they're basically trying to bring it more towards center. And X-Men Prime is going to just set it up, the new teams, the new way that they want to start telling the stories.
Their new direction,
basically. Their new direction, yeah. Yep. Kitty Pryde is comes back into the fold, and she's now the leader of the X-Men universe.
Mm-hmm. So when you read this, did you feel like you read this before?
Well, I mean, bringing
Kitty Pryde in and basically making her.
Well, they've done that before.
To me, this was very much kind of a rehash to just start something new.
Well, kind of, because they're trying to go back to the more classic. That's what they said. X-Men Gold, X-Men Blue was a thing that they did in the early 90s. That was between Uncanny X-Men and the X-Men title that Jim Lee worked on.
Mm-hmm.
The one was gold, one was blue.
Right.
And so they are trying to go back to some of that. Right. They're not wiping out everything. There's still the young X-Men that Bendis brought from the past into the future.
Yes.
Which
will be essentially featured in Blue.
In Blue, yep. There's still some of the new mutants that people have grown to love over the years, from Grant Morrison, Mike Carey, Matt Fraction, the whole thing. They're still going to be around.
Uh-huh.
But they're just trying to recenter it so that X-Men people like myself can go, okay, because Extraordinary X-Men, Uncanny X-Men, I actually enjoyed those books, but that was Jeff Lemire and Cullen Bunn trying to do something different.
Right.
Uncanny X-Men was mostly villains with, like, you know, Psylocke, who's an anti-hero, kind of walking that line, but Magneto and Sabretooth. Mm-hmm. And Extraordinary X-Men was Storm, Magic, old man Logan.
Yeah.
And they were fun, but it wasn't that classic sense when you read an X-Men comic. If the people that were picking those up were X-Men fans.
Right. I was going to say, because I actually read X-Men Gold, and in the back he does say that you will feel like you've read a lot, that they're going to kind of like harken back to older stories and kind of give like homages to those stories, and the trick will be to try to twist it into something new.
Yes, yes. Well, they're trying to bring back old villains, old things. They're trying to, for you know, better lack of a word, they're trying to do what DC did with Rebirth.
Right.
They're trying to say, hey, remember this villain that you loved from the 90s, Mr. Sinister? I'm sure Mr. Sinister will show up. Apocalypse, that whole thing.
Right.
And they're going to bring those back, which is fine, because I think that we'll talk about it later on. I think that when you can do new things, but you definitely have to have the core of something.
Mm-hmm.
You definitely have to have the core. And so this makes me excited for the X-Men universe going forward, because I want them to. I like different things. I like new mutants. I like different ways of storytelling. But at the end of the day, they should still feel like the X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're trying to get back to a more classic X-Men, which is right. Good, in my opinion.
And I feel the same way. I think you've mentioned a lot when it comes to high-end writing and high-concept writing, how much you enjoy when they do drop it back to the simpler core things and kind of drive that home. I think that there's no better example of that than X-Men.
Yeah.
I love watching my X-Men do a fastball shuffle and, you know, see Nightcrawler bamf around and Wolverine snicking it all over the place.
Yep, exactly.
I don't necessarily need the inner monologue of, like, why they're doing it or what, you know. I just love watching that action.
Yeah.
And
I
kind of delivered that with Prime.
Yes. Yeah, so I'm excited for the other books. I'm sure that
we'll see where it goes.
I'm sure that some of the The other ones will probably maybe be picks later.
Yes.
Because some of them look really cool, in my opinion. So if you want to jump into the X-Men, X-Men Prime's going to be great. And then, as you said, X-Men Gold's already out. I haven't read it yet, but those two are out, and you can jump into the X-Men universe.
We'll talk about it next podcast. You'll get a kick out of it.
Yeah.
All right, Sean, what about you, man?
Man,
bra.
My pick would be The Old Guard, number 2.
Oh, nice.
Written by Greg Rucka and art and covers by Leandro Fernandez.
Never heard of him. Who's Greg Rucka?
Greg Rucka and Fernandez. I don't know. This book, it's kind of cool because this particular issue, you're building off the first issue and you are actually learning that these characters in this group have been around for hundreds, if not thousands of years.
Right.
And that they just basically, they can't die, but they can.
Mm-hmm.
So they die, and then they basically, their body rebuilds, and they're able to still get up and do whatever. But there is a certain point when they can die, but they don't know when that time is.
Mm-hmm.
And you get more into that idea and, like, the histories of the characters in this book, which I thought was cool.
Right.
Because the opening in the first issue was very much a, hey, there's this crazy group of people that look like they're just Terminators.
What's going on?
What is going on? So this one does fill you in on some of the backstory and this progresses a little bit more story with a new character.
And this one is the convincing, right? Where she meets that new person?
Yes.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that part.
So it was really good. Yeah, that was funny. That was actually really funny.
Yeah.
But the story is really good. Like I said, the issue one started off with what looked like a black ops team that gets sent in to do some wet work, and you see them just get shredded, and then their bodies rebuild, and they take everybody out.
Mm-hmm.
Come to find out that they've been videotaped, and somebody wants to use that information and give it to the highest bidder in some way, but you don't know why.
Right.
And you don't know why they're, like, invincible, and this issue goes into that. So it's a really cool comic if you like stuff that's a little different, that's not just superhero mm-hmm. stuff.
No, I think it's great. So. It's a great story. Really interesting stuff.
I think Leandro Fernandez's art is just going to get better, honestly. Mm-hmm. He has an interesting way that he does stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He does some art where it's very minimal. Even though he uses a lot of negative space to kind of draw his art.
Mm-hmm.
But there, like, his faces, sometimes will go pretty minimalistic on him, which is fine. As long mm-hmm. as it's still telling the story, I'm okay with that.
Correct.
So for some people, this might not be your art choice, and I get that. I personally dig it just because it's different. Yeah. And sometimes something like this kind of different I can get into.
Sure. Yeah, it's all about the subject to the art. The art pushing the story.
Art with the story, yeah.
So if the story fits the art, and that's a weird description, it's tough to, like, narrow down, but in certain circumstances, poor art with
the best example can
enhance story, you know?
The best example that I've seen in a lot of years is 7 to Eternity.
Yeah.
Pena's art in that to help tell that story.
Correct.
So ridiculously well.
Yeah.
Like, you almost can't imagine another...
No.
Another art with that, even though they are changing artists, so that makes me sad.
They are?
Yep.
Oh.
heartbreaker news to everybody out there.
You gotta prep a guy before you say something like that. I couldn't imagine like a different...
Opinion can't keep up with the schedule that they want to do.
Okay, so who's the new artist?
I don't know.
I can't imagine another, like, Whispers.
I just heard it, King, like, a day or two ago. Somebody told me, hey, they're changing artists on this because he can't.
Well, I mean,
keep
I'm
the
sure.
schedule they want to keep. I'm just like,
this
okay.
is that French, how the French do it, and why they just can't compete here.
Yep,
this is why that artwork looks so ridiculous.
Yep.
Well, Pena's art is amazing.
It's so good.
It's so amazing, but he puts so much into it that he's just not a fast artist, and that's just kind of how it goes.
Well,
unfortunately.
Side note: we didn't mention, but FCO is going to be the colorist on that
Batman
event. Batman. Yep. That reminded me because Matt Hollingsworth is colorist on 7 to Eternity, and he's so he nails it on that, and the color on that as well.
That's funny.
If they change color, because the color for, like, the spells and the arts and stuff, the way that that shading works and the kind of ambiance of the atmosphere in those stories really engage me as well.
Ambiance and atmosphere are basically the same word.
Yes. Sorry. I'll go off of that. But yeah, but you know what I'm saying? Like, when you look at the worlds kind of engage you as well in that story. And I think mm-hmm. that the color has a lot to do with that as well.
Well, I mean, that's kind of why this guy's... That's why Leandro Fernandez's art stands out here, because the colorist uses simple palettes
to make it stand out. Yeah, it's not jarring. It's not... It's enhancing his work and not creating us to look at actual errors, so... Great picks. I think those were good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Absolutely.
Well, then, let's move on to our Spinning the Rex.
Spinning the Rex! Spinning the Rex!
Excellent. So, in Spinning the Rex, we're going to do something that we like to call State of the Union on Comics.
Correct.
And basically, what we want to talk about here tonight is if you guys have looked into the news or done any research, you've seen that Marvel has officially come out and said some things that some people like, some people do not like.
Funniest thing is I heard more than half the things he said at Comics Pro.
Right.
He said it directly to us retailers, and I was like, are you insane?
So
you're blaming it. It's like he's the kid who's blaming everybody else for everything that's wrong with him.
So
it's not my fault. Yeah. It's all everybody else's fault.
We're going to start off by saying that these are opinions that we share.
Yeah.
We're gonna try to address these.
Our opinions are our own.
Correct. We're not trying to push this kind of an agenda. It's just what we feel and what we've seen working here, and kind of being the guys I work with have been in this business for a long time, you know, and they know the ebbs and flows of comic book hype, comic book direction.
Currently, the direction of comic books is not like anything I've seen in the 25 years I've been reading comic books.
It's interesting.
So,
good.
That's what we're going to be
talking
about.
But I respect your guys' opinion a lot when these things come up. Yeah. And because I form my own as being a little newbie in this.
And also things change too. Everything that we have is what we experience.
Mm-hmm. And comics are very much also driven by, they're driven by society. They're driven by politics.
Pop culture,
they're driven by pop.
Yeah.
They are.
There are various other things.
Well, and area.
They're driven by area. They're driven by.
There are some comic book stores that have
sociopolitical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're driven. So people will put whatever they want in a comic book. Some people just put their agenda into comic books.
Sure.
So it just depends on what it is.
The fact of the matter is I would argue that you can't do a comic book incorrectly. It's just impossible. Well, it can either sell or it can't. It can either reach its audience
people
or it won't.
People will either buy it or they won't.
Correct.
That's pretty much the end. And customers vote with their dollars. And if they if they see something they don't want to read, they won't buy it.
Right. Exactly.
That's just how it goes.
Yep.
It doesn't matter how much you publicize it either. If it's something that somebody is not, it's not connecting to them on whatever level that needs to connect to them, they just won't buy it.
Yeah. There are loyalists out there that you really have to break down and out of your comics, which I think is an interesting move. But
we've had so many people that have come in and stopped full runs of stuff because they're that irritated with whatever
that's
the
state what I'm
is.
Saying. You have to break down loyalists.
It is insane.
Yeah.
Because these are people that are like, I have to complete the run. And they have that weird psychological tick that makes them have to buy every single issue, even if the issues were all single issues in a run.
It's me and Batman, yo.
So
every time.
And me and Superman, I buy everything.
So let's start off with what he was...
Basically what was said, and this is paraphrasing... I don't have the exact words right here in front of me, but...
And who was this again?
This is
David Gabriel.
No, this is Axel Alonso.
Alonso said this?
Yeah, he said it in an industry-wide magazine.
And he is?
He is the editor-in-chief at Marvel Comics.
Thank you.
Before then, he was an editor of the X-Men books at Marvel, and way in the early 90s, late 90s, he was the editor under Karen Berger, who did Preacher.
Cool.
So, he's a well-known, famous editor. He came out and said that, based on sales, the comic book community, the worldwide community, does not want diversity.
This is also something that David Gabriel said.
Yeah.
At Comics Pro.
Yeah.
He said it at Comics Pro, and there's actually reports he said it out there. He said it out there at one of the conventions before it was posted.
Yeah. That they don't want women characters.
The comic book community doesn't want
because they're...
The comic book community doesn't want
because they're not buying Marvel Comics.
Right. Yes, and too many artists. There are a handful, but that mostly people care about the writing. So this sent a lot of waves through retail, fan, and even the the creators. Yeah. You know, good and bad, because some comic book stores have come out and said, nope, everyone in my store loves all the difference, and they don't like the classic stuff.
Right.
And then there's other places that go, nope, the classic stuff needs to be classic, and you can do a little bit here and there, but, you know, you can't just change your entire universe and expect people to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, there's a big spectrum there, mm-hmm. and we wanted to bring it up tonight to talk about what we see here around our store.
Right.
Like I said, if you go to another store, if you are listening to this and you're somewhere else and you're like, oh, we sell a ton of this, or, you know, I always pick this up and it's fine. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
We're just talking about
something
you're
enjoying, you want to buy it, continue to buy it.
Yes.
That's how you support what you like.
But the thing is that like Marvel has said, and like we all know, you vote with your dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that Marvel has had one of their biggest losses this past year that they've had in a long time shows that people are, for the most part,
the majority of buyers, they're not enjoying what Marvel's
they're not enjoying
out. They're not enjoying
third right now, right?
They're not enjoying the current state of Marvel.
I believe they're still second.
Yeah, Marvel's second. Too huge to.
Yeah,
if they dropped to third, they would freak out.
They would freak out more. But DC with Rebirth this past year.
Oh, they knocked that right out of the park.
They knocked it out of the park, and.
But it was so. But that attributes to how the story is told too.
Stories told, yes. So,
I'm not quantifying the writers are the only thing that matters statement here.
Totally.
But if you're going to write a good story, you can write it about whatever you want to write it about. As long as it's a good story that connects with the readers, people will buy it.
Well, I agree with that 100%.
Well, and then also I think that...
But if you're going to do some kind of weird ham-fisted over-the-top thing that seems like it doesn't fit in whatever universe it might be,
mm-hmm.
people aren't going to accept it. They're not going to grasp onto that, because it's going to feel like you just crapped over all the old ideas that they had that they loved. So.
Well, and that's one of the big things, is that I also feel like... And again, not trying to push an agenda or anything like that, but DC also has always tried to put out consistent art and consistent with the writing.
Mm-hmm.
And like he even said, sometimes they just want to make sure that the writing is done by a good writer and they'll figure it out, you know. And I think that when we talked about it here in the shop, we went... I believe, Richie, you went, I always love art. I always look at art.
Every time.
And that's, and I think a lot of people feel that way.
Right.
I think a lot of people feel the way that most comic book people do. Art does matter.
Art matters in the especially in the aspect of a comic book.
Art can pull you in or it can pull you out.
Absolutely. And that's what we were
just... So, yeah, it does matter. It matters in telling the story. Sometimes you can actually look through a comic book and read the story by looking at the art.
Yep.
If the artist is connected enough to what the story is telling, he can draw that story.
Yes.
How many people come in this store and the first thing to do when they think about purchasing a comic... is they pick it up.
Yep.
And they flip through.
Yep.
Rarely do I see them actually looking at words. I see them looking at imagery.
Yes.
And trying to see if this is captivating enough to hold my eyesight, to keep my attention.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's so good. You know, and...
Well, they're buying the book for the cover, in a sense, at that point.
Well, yeah, and I think it's not the best way, but it's not a terrible way to look and go, is this engaging me?
Yeah.
On my first level of how I'm going to engage in this comic.
Sure, absolutely. You know? 100%. It's been a very interesting discussion this past week here at the shop, because we've been talking about this, because, you know, Marvel has said that their event books haven't been selling as well, and that they want to stop doing the big events, like we said, for 18 months or more.
Right.
But then, as you said, DC's coming out and saying they're going to do Dark Knights, Dark Knight Metal.
Right.
And everyone seems to be pretty stoked about it. So, you know, what's the difference there? What's going on? And I think that... And again, we've talked about this many times on the podcast before, but I think that centering your universe is a good thing, and that you should always sprout from that.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why people think that Geoff Johns is great, the reason why people are liking Rebirth, is because it's on an even ground. Mm-hmm. If you can stand on something that you know is ground, you can do cool things. You can build a house, you can build a boat, you can do all these different things. It's cool. But you got to know that you're on solid ground,
mm-hmm.
on something. People love DC for whatever reasons. I like the legacy, I like the mythology of it, I like the villains. You know, right. These are all things that people like about DC. And when you show that you're still doing all those things, whatever it is for you personally as a person, they dig it. Same with Marvel. When people go, oh, I love the human stories, the plausible, quote-unquote, you know, Peter Parker down on his luck, guy builds an Iron Man suit. You know, I really dig that. When you see that, that's cool. And you can do fun, different things with that. Mm-hmm. But you gotta have that base.
Yes.
And you gotta play towards what it is.
It's the same in other universes as well.
Absolutely.
Valiant, even yep. Astro City, which is what part of our book club.
Yes.
It creates a universe, it centrifies that universe, and then builds upon that universe. It
yes.
creates your characters, gives you a foundation,
yes.
and then builds off that foundation in any direction it'd like.
Exactly.
If the foundation is solid enough, it's going to hold the weight of any
things you want
expansion.
Put on there. Yep.
You know?
Yes.
And part of the problem, especially in Marvel, and DC's done this before.
They've done it before, yes.
Where mm-hmm. they've expanded so far out that they've lost hold of that foundation,
yes,
and
yes.
all of a sudden everything just comes falling down.
Yep.
And even people that are desperate to want to care lose track of why they care.
Sure. Yep.
And well, and it's tough to find.
So how many other publishers besides Marvel and DC actually has a universal foundation they need to hold on to?
Valiant?
I mean, Valiant right now, I mean...
Think about it. Image does not.
Image,
no.
does not,
Image is all no. single-centered books.
No, you're right. Marvel,
but I would
and DC,
say the
Marvel and DC have built universes.
Yeah, absolutely. And
over
that's
the
their,
past
and
40,
that's their draw.
50 years.
Right.
And that's their that is their draw.
That's their draw. 60, that is why
years,
people.
But
and we've talked about this.
That's
many
why people
times.
Come in. And but when you do something like it's fine to replace Tony Stark as Iron Man. That's fine.
Yeah, sure.
I don't have a problem with that.
Sure.
Nope.
But if you do it in like a. I read the first issue of the Riri Williams
yep.
takeover.
Mm-hmm.
Character's fine. I didn't really enjoy the story.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, and again,
and that was
yeah.
that's my opinion.
Well, and here's
and I know there's I'm sure there are some fans out there, and that's
sure.
fine.
Well, and like
but,
I said, we can peel back the curtain a little bit. And the Invincible Iron Man that's coming out right now.
Mm-hmm.
The amount that we have for hold slots, are the pull list for that is 7 people.
Right.
The previous Iron Man book, the one that when Tony Stark was a part of it, was still very low, but it was around 25 people.
Right.
Which
and
is,
at,
yeah.
And at the height, when Matt Fraction was writing it, and it was right after the Iron Man movie, it was around 40-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? So as you see, there's been a decline there.
But it's been that way.
It's been that way for a while.
Company-wide for Marvel for a lot of their books.
Now,
and DC went through the same thing,
they
and
did.
They realigned and changed. And
they changed it.
Figured out what they wanted to do with it.
Now,
they didn't say it was the audience fault.
No.
Yeah. They didn't say it was the audience. They didn't say it was the retailers. They didn't say it was everybody else's fault but their own.
But now, whenever we talk about this, a lot of people go, well, you know, you're just going down on you're just bashing Marvel. And I go, well, no, Miles Morales... is an example of something that works.
Brilliantly.
Okay.
Well, he started out in a completely opposite
universe. He did.
He took
one
over.
One of my favorite universes.
He was around for... He's been around for years.
Been around for a while.
He's been around for years. I'm going to say 5, 6 years, maybe even
it's
longer.
It's been longer.
7, something.
I
want
to say that 2010...
So 7 years probably, yeah, something like
Time's
that.
Times irrelevant
yeah.
for us now, Zach.
Yeah, I know.
Especially comic book time.
but either way, he showed up in Ultimate Spider-Man, and the people who were buying that book kept buying them, but people said, oh, they're doing something different. Let's see how this is.
Yeah, well, part of the reason why they accepted him taking over from Peter Parker in that universe
yeah,
is because it was an alternate universe.
It was an alternate yeah. universe, absolutely.
It was a completely alternate universe.
Absolutely.
And then when he got put into this universe, they accepted it because they already knew the character.
Yes,
yeah, they already
exactly.
knew the base. They already knew what he was doing.
Exactly.
They wanted to break down
and
the Ultimate world, get rid of it, and just take the characters that they wanted and put them into this universe.
And if
which
anybody,
that worked fine.
And if anybody has read... Miles Morales Spider-Man, the core concept of what Spider-Man is still applies to him. Uh-huh. It's his family drama. It's him not being the best at what there is. It's him trying to figure it out, him trying to juggle family, love, villains, the same things that people love about Spider-Man.
Yeah.
He is not... They did not give him a Spider-Man suit and say he's kind of like Thor. And that's weird. And that's... And sometimes when they make something new and they just try and go, hey, there's something new here. Both companies have done this. They get so off base. It's like, oh, well, we're part of this family. Not really.
Right.
Because you're not hitting the core concept of why we love them.
Potentially, yes.
Potentially, yeah. But Miles Morales does.
Yeah, but I understand it's also hard to make a new character, especially in a world that's already well-established, like a Marvel or DC universe. Mm-hmm. It's hard to make a new character. It absolutely is.
Sure.
We've talked about Batwoman.
Yes.
Someone we really appreciate. She kind
of
just
straight up came out of the blue.
Right.
But she kind of, like, for me, I dug her.
Right, yes.
I thought it was cool.
But here's... And
she didn't... They started a character that didn't have an explanation. That was the cool thing.
They did.
And for some reason, I always gravitate towards those characters more than... Oh, well, hey, guess what? We have this, and this person's taking over for this person. Oh, but if you have a character that they just start putting them out. They're like, yeah. This is the character now. Guess what? Boom. We'll figure out the backstory later.
Right.
Those are, for whatever reason, I see those as accepted more than if you try to build the backstory first. Mm-hmm. And then people will find flaws in the backstory.
Right.
Characters, and this is, again, my opinion, they have to go through the trial by fire. They have got to be in comics, and they have to see how it goes through the audience.
Mm-hmm.
The audience says, for the most part, the audience says, we like Batwoman. And they gave her some books. They sold. People continue to buy it, and now they're buying the new one. And that process is what happened with Miles Morales. That's happened with Batwoman. That's happened numerous... With Damian, exactly.
Damian was great because he was built to die.
Yes, yep. But the characters who... If you do that, there's been... And there are literally thousands that they've gone, isn't this a cool new villain? Isn't this a cool new superhero? Isn't this a cool new added aspect to Flash, Green Lantern, Batman... Superman, Spider-Man, and no, they're not loved by society.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't hear from them again, ever, or until somebody figures out what to do with them. You can't say Daredevil's new villain is Mr. Fear. He's better than Bullseye, because right. That's not the history. That's not... Brubaker took that character and made him super good and chilling, and you went, wow, this is awesome.
Just like the Purple Man and Jessica Jones.
Just like Purple Man. When the Purple Man showed up, he was not the way...
pulled Purple Man into that and said, hey, this guy's a real...
Yeah, he's really
real when he did that in, and when he did that in Alias, people went, oh, he's cool. And then Bendis used him in other Marvel Universe stuff, and people went, wow. And when they chose him for... The, you know what I mean?
But that's a process. You wrote him in a way...
That's a process.
That made him... Yeah. Made everybody go, wow.
Yes.
Yeah. And like I said, like Zach's saying, it goes through the test. You give it
unfortunately, it's going to be the masses who are reading that are going to win the arguments.
And that's what we're really talking about,
whoever
right?
The masses with the dollar that want to buy the books, that's who's going to make these characters stand out.
Yes. For that one person that really, truly enjoys, like, let's say, the infamous Iron Man, the seven people that buy that, you're not wrong.
No.
We're talking in overgeneralizations here because we're talking big money. Yeah. We're talking the market.
We're talking about Marvel as a business is correct. What we're talking about. Yeah. We're not talking about Marvel as, hey, the creative concepts here and there.
Right.
Yes. You know, I mean, that is definitely part of it.
It's part.
But we're talking about what they're doing and why they're complaining about what their business is
well,
doing.
Well, and just as an example...
Or any company for that
matter. Just as an example, I read the...
Because they are businesses at
they
the
are.
End of
the day. They are. They really are.
They need to make money to sustain, to keep going, to keep making money,
so do we.
To keep sustaining,
Ask
to
Valiant.
Keep going.
Yeah. Yes.
That's any business. You have to make the money. The bottom dollar counts. And if your bottom dollar drops off because you don't have people there supporting whatever your product is, you're going to disappear as a business. That's the
way it is.
Basic way it's going to be.
And like Marvel sent us an advanced copy of Secret Empire number 0. And one of the characters that actually really stood out to me in that was Riri Williams. And I was not expecting that. I actually really enjoyed her in that one. But that was written by Nick Spencer, somebody else, and he did something that made me click.
Right.
You know, and that's good. Yeah. And I think that's fine. I have no problem. I have no problem with any of the things that Marvel, because we're just talking specifically Marvel or DC, when they try and bring out something, it's a good thing. And I think that when people care about something, they will continue to give it that money and that dollar.
Oh, yeah.
Don't stop trying to add diversity. Don't stop trying to add new concepts or new things.
Yeah, but the Marvel's biggest problem was they kicked open the door, threw away all their old ideas,
yes,
and threw diversity into everything.
The thing you don't have to do,
which you basically pissed off all your old, right, customers, yeah, because all your lifelong customers are going, what are you doing to my, right, character?
To create and push diversity does not mean you have to disillusion anything else.
You don't
else
have to just, yes, get rid of it. Yeah. It's throwing away everything that you've known has worked for 40 years. You're like, we're just going to put all this in the trash, and we're just going to kind of go like this, and we're going to throw all this stuff on the wall and see what,
yes,
happens.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, and I honestly, let's bring up like Thor.
Yeah.
There's the Mighty Thor, which is Jane Foster, female Thor, and there is the regular Thor. They're still going on at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of Thor fans that I've talked to have now accepted Jane Foster. She's been around for a couple of years,
right,
and she's part of the universe, and they are together. If you just want regular Thor, they did Unworthy Thor, and I'm going to guess they're probably going to give him his own book later on this year, because they kept, right, saying they're going to bring out number ones with more classic characters. But you know what? That Mighty Thor book has enough people that read it and enjoy it that can sustain.
Mm-hmm.
So unless they decide that they want to get rid of that or whatever, if they say, no, we can do both, that's fine. Because, right, that is
Captain
what
Captain Marvel did the same thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They can, yes, the Ms. Marvel.
There's been a couple different Captain Marvels.
Yep, and Ms. Marvel turned
Captain Marvel. I was going to say Ms. Marvel is,
yeah, Ms. Marvel became the new character, and the old Ms. Marvel became Captain Marvel.
Uh-huh.
And the audience,
and neither of them are the original Captain Marvel, which is
the original, right, Captain Marvel, which is fine, which is great,
yeah,
and if they can sustain a book and people want to buy that, then that's a good thing. That's the biggest thing. It's not about people not liking diversity. It's not about, oh, people don't want to see that. That's, mm-hmm, not what should be taken away. What should be taken away is the core things. The Avengers should be Thor, Cap, and Iron Man, and then you can add, that's one of the coolest things about Avengers, that you've had so many different characters.
Except everybody's been an Avenger.
Everyone's been an Avenger.
Except for
Rich Rider.
Rich Rider.
Except for Rich Rider.
That's right.
Which was great.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? That's how you get the diversity in there. Somebody, yeah, comes into the comic book shop, they go, Avengers number one, written by blank, drawn by blank. Cool, it's Cap, Thor, and Iron Man. I like those guys. And then you introduce Miss Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
And someone goes, oh, I like this Miss Marvel. Does she have her own comic book? She does, or not yet. And if enough people go, we really want a Miss Marvel comic book, they bring it out, and people buy it, and they love it. You have a Miss Marvel comic book, and she's in Avengers. You have diversity. You have something different. But going, here's Miss Marvel, and here is Jane Foster Thor,
uh-huh,
and somebody who's been reading Avengers since they were 6 years old back in the 60s. They come in. They go, what's my anchor? There has to be some sort of anchor.
Mm-hmm.
If you just want to read, that's as Sean was saying, when you come into Marvel and DC, and we've had this discussion for years, Marvel and DC is the home that you can go into, that you know what's going to happen,
right,
you know, in some aspect.
Right.
You can walk in, and there's not going to be a tiger in the living room, wow, because you know that there's never been a tiger in this living room. But when you go and they go, oh, it's not a house anymore, it's a cruise ship, it's like, no,
right,
this is what I want. So
part of the problem, well, especially with like more Marvel, I think, than DC at this point in time, is the movies. Their movies and TV shows are all the classic characters, the original.
They really are.
When Marvel, yeah, went from being Atlas to being Marvel, and they, yep, decided to realign and start basically from this point here.
And that's one of the reasons why they're so successful.
That's why their movies are so successful, is they're tried, true, known characters. And I'm not saying you need that in the comics necessarily, but when people that are watching that walk into the comic book store and they see all these characters that have absolutely no resemblance to anything that they know for the movies,
mm-hmm,
they're probably not going to buy that.
Well, and
unfortunately,
as a retailer, right, that's one of the most,
it's one of the most challenging things to deal with, because, yes, people come in and say, hey, I really like Iron Man, I want to read Iron Man. Well, Iron Man is not a billionaire white guy right now. Iron Man is a 15-year-old black girl. They're like, what? Yeah. Well, and, how does that work?
Well, and then across whatever it is.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some things like Doctor Strange. There's a regular Doctor Strange comic book.
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy has been a big hit since the movies.
Then you got to explain why Star-Lord's Kitty Pryde, or was Kitty Pryde for a little while. And...
Yeah, but exactly. Yeah. So and that makes it very hard. Well, and like when Spider-Man Homecoming comes out, right now they're starting to get back to some more classic Peter Parker stuff. Mm-hmm. But for the past little while, he's been a James Bond, Tony Stark, billionaire philanthropist guy. And it's really hard to, you know, is he a 15-year-old kid who has problems with acne and girls? No, he's like Bond with cars and, you know, him.
Right.
And that's something that I've always wondered about, too, is why can't you align that a little bit more?
It's interesting because we talk a little bit about, like, character evolution, right? Some of these characters, like Sean said, I mean, a few of these have been around 75-plus years.
Yes.
Okay? And it's hard to say, we need you to stay within in this box for 75 years. Because the story can't go
for 75 years. You're not going to have, they're not all going to be winner stories.
Right.
They're not going to be winners. No.
Right.
Some of them you're going to have, they're not going to connect to the audience. It's just the way it's going to be.
But sure. We've discussed here, we've had the argument, I think Keith brought it up a couple times, where who's a better character, Spider-Man or Cyclops?
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about Spider-Man. One of the issues with Spider-Man is how every time he somehow got up to a certain stage of development, they kind of retcon him, and he drops all the way back to where he was a 16-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
this is probably the most different he's been.
I was going to say, but then you take him too far, and he's almost unreadable.
You start losing audience because he's the weird. He's like a weird example of that, and unfortunately, the Fantastic Four fell into that as well.
Right.
Well, because they're not even around anymore.
But yeah, but people didn't know what to do with him for the longest time.
Sure.
That was supposed to be Marvel's flagship title
for a while,
and then it started turning into, what are they doing? Right. We want more of the same. We don't want more of the same. We want different. We want more of the same. And that's kind of the weirdness that Spider-Man's fallen into, too.
Well, and that's one of the reasons why going into...
That would drive me nuts as a creator.
Oh, can you imagine trying to follow...
But that's one of the reasons why I have so much respect for people like Scott Snyder, Jeff Johns, Mark Morrison. Waid, Grant Morrison, is because it is harder to walk that line of new and old than to say, we're going to retcon it all so my story will fit. That's easy.
Yeah.
That's really easy. Or the other way. I'm just going to rehash old stuff.
Right.
If you can do both, if you can keep... if you can keep the core concept of the character, but do new things, and I don't want to bring them up all the time, but Green Lantern and Geoff Johns is perfect on that. The history, the point of the entire universe, he still used, but he brought in new things. The color spectrum was a new thing,
right?
But it worked because of the history. It did not say, oh, the color yellow
doesn't affect him anymore.
Doesn't affect. Yeah, they said he gave a reason. And why it affects him, and then he splintered that into more colors and different things.
And I know that there are Spider-Man stories that build off of him.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
That build like that. The Clone Saga is one of them. Or, not close, but you know the Venom for sure.
Venom.
Maximum Carnage was excellent.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And it built off the core characters splintering into historic events. I think that in a weird way. I can't remember the arc, but the Doc Ock Spider-Man.
Oh, Superior Spider-Man?
Superior Spider-Man works in that aspect because they go into his history a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And his fight back.
Yes.
One of the things that I always come to when it comes to development but staying the same is Robins in Batman's world.
Yeah.
I find it interesting that Batman always has a Robin, but those Robins vary... And they all have different personalities, but not really.
Yeah.
Because at some point, they're all still Robin. And it's, you know, they never really explain how all of his sidekicks are getting older.
Yes.
And Batman's kind of sticking around the same age. But it does help create...
Lazarus Pits.
Yeah, Lazarus Pits.
Yeah.
But it does help create an illusion of... continuous development.
Sure.
With the lock of this is still Batman.
It's still Batman, absolutely.
You know?
Well, and I was going to bring that up is that I think that's one of the core concepts that's so different about Marvel and DC. Mm-hmm. Is that
Flash with his continuity as well.
Green Lantern.
Mm-hmm.
I think DC has that built in from the beginning, the idea of legacy. And I think Marvel was always that company that went for quote-unquote realism. They went to New York. They went to Chicago. They went to California.
Right.
They ate at McDonald's. They did that, plus the usual stuff.
Right.
And I think that's what people who like Marvel and who enjoy their movies, they like seeing Captain America throw a shield at some Nazis. And that's pretty real world. While on DC's hand, Superman picks up a comet and throws it into space. That's kind of some of the things that you like about those universes.
Right.
So when DC says, now we're going to go, like I said, one of my things when they made Superman less powerful and he was riding his motorcycle, that's more realism. That's kind of the Marvel thing. He went to different country or different states. Mm-hmm. He went to Alaska and, you know, man, I have to get gas. I've never had to get gas before. And for DC people, you went, where's the mythology? Where's the cape and the eagle and the music?
Right.
While I think that Marvel has been trying to do that, where they want to bring in the legacy. Oh, no, there's not one Iron Man. There's many different Iron Mans. There's many different Caps. There's many different... But that's one of the things that you love, is that you love Peter Parker's constant struggle with himself.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to see him... I mean, they've done the little things with, like, Spider-Girl
right.
and stuff in the past. But those never outsold a Spider-Man, because
right.
people want to see Peter Parker. That character, that person, with Aunt May, Mary Jane, his villains, what does he do?
That is a little true, because I think that with DC you have mythos, but with Marvel you have personal, like, you go on the adventure with that character.
Yeah.
You know? So when he does something out of character, you're like, wait, I thought we were on the same page. What, you
yes.
know?
Yeah, Marvel is more history.
Yeah.
And DC is more mythology.
Correct.
DC's gonna be the cave paintings and the,
mm-hmm.
the Greek,
mm-hmm.
while Marvel's gonna be the... Hercules is going to be the everyman who we can relate to, and that right. we can, and when you switch them, that's when it gets weird.
Right.
I think for a lot of people.
Well, and it makes it a little harder for Marvel to pull off the legacy aspect, and in a sense, it's almost kind of funny because you can kind of mirror it to the Marvel versus DC cinematic universes.
Sure.
Now, currently, Marvel has a legacy that
yes.
they've started with a foundation and they're building, and people kind of know what they're to expect when they go through it, where DC is trying to build it out of scratch
yes.
and give you 3-hour-long movies and try to cram everything into it and go,
yeah.
no, we've always had a Justice League. You don't need 5 movies to prepare you for this.
Exactly.
Here you go.
Yep.
And it's kind of how it's working right now in the comics is you have a legacy of, like, no, there has always been a Wally West and a Barry Allen and Jay Garrick. You know, they've always had that, where in the Marvel Universe they're like, no, now we have Gwenpool and you know, there's Spider-Gwen, Spider-Man, Miles Morales. They're all from alternate universes, but they all have been together the whole time.
Now they're all in the same
yeah.
place at the
hey.
Same time. Surprise!
Yeah. So it's
hell?
A clutter effect that kind of
yes.
can disorient you, especially
mm-hmm.
when you're used to something, when you
yes.
when you've grown fond of something.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I think that Marvel has amazing characters.
Absolutely.
That I desperately want great
absolutely.
Stories for.
Oh, yeah.
And I do think that they will figure it out.
I think they will, and when they do, they're going to be huge again.
It will blow up.
When you get A-list artist, an A-list writer
mm-hmm.
on Steve Rogers, Captain America, Tony Stark, Iron Man, whoever it may be, it's going to be a huge seller.
Right.
And I hope they continue to do different things in those books to try and add diversity, add things to it,
mm-hmm.
and let it ride. And in 5 years, if we have half old characters and half new characters, then that is what
yeah,
the fans
yeah.
want, and that's what that's what's good for.
That's fine.
That's good for us. That's good for the companies. That's good for everybody.
Yeah, there's enough people buying whatever it is to support
yep.
those characters being made into comic books. Then
mm-hmm. yep.
right, congratulations.
And that's why you keep trying.
Then you
and
have
try
a,
again.
Yeah. Then you have winners, and you don't.
And this is not new. They've been introducing new characters. They've been introducing new characters since the dawn of comic books.
Yeah.
And they've done it every decade. You can point to something that was in another book that somebody else liked.
I was going to say,
continues on.
When you talk about creating new concepts and hoping they stick, there is no better example of that than Batman villains. Batman's Rogues Gallery is like this legacy of awesome, amazing, character-driven, story-driving personalities. And I feel like every time someone gets a hold of a Batman comic, they're like, now's my chance to create that villain that gets to come back every single time. Morrison did it with Professor Pig.
Yep.
And Snyder does it with Court of Owls.
Yep. Yeah, Court of Owls is fantastic. Like, and Bloom. And
And it is the masses that decide if this villain is worth a repeat.
Court of Owls.
Yeah, Court of Owls
back,
is
backed up.
They're locked.
And they're now in the Gotham TV show. Yep.
My favorite is Paul Dini's Harley Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
Harley Quinn doesn't exist before 1992. And because of her legacy, because of how crisp the masses took that character on, they recreate certain scenarios where they put retcon Harley Quinn in there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's hilarious to me.
Absolutely.
You'll see a Neil Adams Batman with a Harley Quinn, and that's like, that doesn't exist, but okay, because She has to be part of the universe now.
100%.
Because the people have spoken.
Yep.
And they really like their character.
And when you speak with your dollar, that is exactly what happens right there.
Exactly. So so I think, like you said, in closing, Marvel's going to figure it out. There's smart people over there.
I would say they have to get away from pointing the finger and start looking at what can we do to solidify sales.
And I think they're going to start later on this year. Mm-hmm. And I think that later this year, early next year, when they start announcing the different books they said they want to. Well, X-Men is a prime example.
Great example.
We've sold
Wait
more
till
primes.
You hear us talk about gold.
Yeah. X-Men Prime, we sold out on it.
Yeah.
And we ordered more primes than we did for any of the previous X-Men books, Extraordinary, Uncanny. And we sold out on it.
Yeah.
Because people want to see what's going on, and they go, oh, I like Kitty Pryde. I like Nightcrawler. I like that. Mm-hmm. But there's some new characters and stuff that show up.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. So I think they're going to see that, and they'll start getting it, that you can do both.
You can.
You can't. One shouldn't be more important than the other. It should be equal. You should bring new characters all the time, and you should tell classic stories with the characters you have.
Yeah, and I don't believe that I believe the audiences want. They're fine with diversity. I don't think it's even a false statement to say what audiences and what every comic book reader wants is story. They want a good story. They want great pieces that engage them so they can keep coming back to it.
Something that can move them to make them come back.
That's it.
Yep.
It has nothing to do with diversity. It has nothing to do with legacy. It has nothing to do with mythos. All it is do you have an engaging story that I can keep coming back to?
And a great character.
Yep. That's it.
So
that's how you tell sequential stories.
That's right. There you go. So we are going to say goodbye for this week.
Yep.
We'll be back next week.
Sean's off to Dink.
Yep.
Go
and
see him.
We are.
Oh, it's too late if you hear this.
Right now, we are 10 episodes away from 50.
We'll never make it.
We're not going to happen.
We're going to make it. And we're going to announce more stuff in the upcoming weeks about a special 50th episode. So.
Fitty.
I'm going to quit at 49.
Okay, well, Richie and I have some things to talk about at 50.
It'll be good, yeah.
So stay tuned. And
now I'm calling all citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I bailed you out when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.